Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Care Of. For 50% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, go to takecareof.com and enter GHOST50. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the unexpected passing of loved ones leads to the haunting of a family. A seance trying to bring out a deceased rock star yields unexpected results. And a young girl is institutionalized when her family believes that she is behind the scars found on her body.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown. Quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Support our show. Become an extra podcast person. That's our extra stuff that you get every single week, a brand new bonus episode. Only $5 a month to become an EPP. You get that bonus episode. You get advanced episodes of the show, all commercial free. You also get a free e-copy of our Amazon best-selling book. That's a $14 value right there when you sign up to be an EPP. Extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. Or you can do it through Patreon. The link is there at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you today. And how are you this fine day?
Well, I'm pretty good, Tony. How's it going with you?
I had a moment about 2 hours ago where it was one of those only in Branson moments.
That's so wide open. I don't even know where to go with that.
It is completely wide open. So I was at the Target, and I was picking up a prescription, and there was a little bit of a wait. There was me and another older gentleman that was sitting there waiting, and I was with Harp, and I'm kind of paying attention to Harp and stuff, and we're just waiting for them to say, okay, hey, you know, here it is, it's ready. And they said, Tony. And both of the, me and the older gentleman, both were like, oh, yes, because I guess we're both named Tony. You know who the other Tony is?
Orlando.
Tony Orlando is right next to me.
Because I heard he was in Branson. Yeah,
picking up my prescriptions at the same time, and I didn't say anything to him. We just kind of looked at each other like, oh, huh. You know, but it was like, I recognized him. I'm like, yep, that was, and then I just did a quick Google when I left the aisle going, yep, that was Tony Orlando.
That's hysterical.
So, yep, there you go. That's my only in Branson moment. It's like when I saw Greg Brady in kind of a very I don't know how the appropriate way of saying the t-shirt. It's the t-shirt, the sleeveless t-shirt that looks really, you know, there's a derogatory term for the shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Yes.
And I don't want to associate that with Greg Brady because I don't believe he's like that by any means. But I saw him wandering around the Walmart one day like that. And I'm like, I think that's Greg Brady down by the Doritos wearing a insert name of shirt there.
yep, sure Greg enough. Brady was wearing, like, that's one of those kind of tank tops that you have to be in pretty good shape to pull off.
Mm. I wouldn't say that he was, but I think he was more so just dress completely not like anyone would expect you to, so no one will stop you. And I get it. I mean, because a lot of people will stop, you know, folks like that around here. And I think the more he was kind of incognito, the better off that he would be. Although it was funny because Tony Orlando had the giant sunglasses on as he was waiting for his prescription inside Target today. So
I'm surprised he doesn't have people do that for him. But, you know, it's Tony, he is working in Branson. He's probably not bringing in $20,000 a show.
Sends Dawn out to get the prescriptions.
Dawn, would you Dawn go, is so long gone.
Would you go get me that blue pill, please, Dawn, and we'll tie a purple or a yellow ribbon around it and have a grand old time. I don't know what we're referring to as tying the yellow ribbon around at this point when he's getting the blue pill, but you could take that any which way you want.
That is funny.
And that's your disturbing thought of the night. So there you go. That's my moment of the day. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump over to our first story of the day. It says, 18 years ago, my husband and I bought our first home located in Southern Maryland, and we still live in it to this day. We've had some strange, unexplained things happen ever since we moved in, such as the lights flickering and seeing shadows and things. I once was alone in my shed and had something yell, "Mom," in my ear. I whirled around and no one was there. Here's two stories that have happened to us. Within a few months of moving into the house, our four-year-old son started telling us about this soldier who would sit on the end of his bed at night and talk to him. I can't remember all of the exact conversations he said that they had, but I remember it was very detailed. Things a four-year-old couldn't possibly know. From his description, we thought it could possibly be a Civil War soldier, since we live near Point Lookout State Park, which was once a Civil War prison camp. These visits with the soldier lasted only a short time when it stopped. In 2012, my brother and my dad both unexpectedly passed away. This was a very hard time for me. One day I came home from a long day at work and lay down on my bed. As I closed my eyes, I heard the music. I realized it was coming from a ceramic music box on my dresser. It was buried under a pile of folded clothes. I picked it up and it continued to play like it had been wound completely up. I had not touched it in years. So I took it still playing to my son and asked him if he was playing with it, and he said no. I then called my 13-year-old daughter who was babysitting and asked her if she was playing with it. She said no, but what she said next freaked me out. She said, "No, Mom, but it's crazy that you ask, because when I was in my room earlier, my music box started playing all by itself too." She said they had not touched it at all, and the kids she was with said, "Yes, it's true, it really did happen." What's crazy is her music box only plays when the lid is up, and it's wound up. She said it was closed and still was playing. This was a very strange experience, but for some reason, I feel like it was my dad or brother just saying hi to us, letting us know that they're there, watching over. Music boxes are always kind of a creepy thing, because it seems to be a fairly manipulatable thing. And just, you know, I know it's supposed to be a soothing, comforting tone. I've always found them kind of creepy no matter what.
Yeah, they're not soothing. Because I think maybe they've been used in too many scary movies, that kind of music.
Sure.
But I hate that she lost her brother and her dad. That's horrible. Yeah. That's a lot to deal with. But that is really strange, though, that two music boxes would start playing in her house.
I had one when I was a kid that, and I'm not attributing this to anything paranormal. I just think, you know, the springs sometimes, you know, if they're not used, they kind of loosen and then you get like a chime out of it every now and then. And I had one that was up on my shelf in my room. And every once in a while, I'll just hear like bling, bling, and that'd be it. It would just be done. But you can then eventually it just didn't work at all. But every once in a while, it would just kind of be, I think, loosening its springs or whatever it is. Either that or there were dead people trying to communicate. I don't know.
You could have had some dead people. But, you know, it kind of makes sense that they would make, I mean, maybe, and even if you bumped the dresser or something it was on. Like, I could see that happening and maybe a little bit of sound coming out, but not like a whole song.
No, where it's like suddenly completely wound up. That's the weird one.
Yeah. Because you can tell when they're wound up. I mean, everybody who's had one, you got to wind it up pretty good to get it to go.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to convince Harper the other day. We were at a, I don't know where we were. It was some store that had a player piano at it. And I don't think she'd ever seen a player piano, you know, one that plays by itself. And I said, "Oh my God, Harper, it's a ghost." She's like, "Are you serious?"
And then Tony Orlando walked around the corner.
And he's like,
started singing.
It's like, "Only in Branson, haunted piano and Tony Orlando." But there you go. No, but then she's like, "No, it isn't. That's bullshit." I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. It is."
Your kid did not say that.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she can curse like a sailor sometimes. The best part about her is she's like the most polite little thing in the world. She never does.
She really is.
Yeah, doesn't do it at school. She knows when she can and when she can't. And around me, she'll just let it rip. But anyone else, she really is just this nicest, sweetest little, you know, thing. I mean, she's really nice and sweet around me, but to me, she just kind of, I'm like kind of her sounding board. She feels she can just vent to me about things, and that's good. I want to have that relationship where she can just kind of let it out and we can talk. She knows how to turn it on and turn it off. So that's, I'm proud of her for that. A lot of kids, it's just always on, and that gets annoying.
She's such a good kid.
She is.
Except for that sailor mouth her dad taught her how to do.
I know. I'm a horrible influence. But, there you go.
She is her father's daughter.
That's why she wants to have a true crime podcast by the time she's like 12. So she'll be solving Miss Murder mysteries, which should be very interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Okay, back to the show in just a second. I got to thank our supporter today, Care Of. I love these guys. They've been a supporter of our show since, I believe, late last year. And it's great stuff. Care Of is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamins and supplement packets right to your door. And remember, if you do vitamins or supplements, there's a lot of bottles to be opened. And then you take them and you... I used to sort them out into little, you know, package or containers. Care Of does it all for you. You get your box every month. They're already prepackaged for you. It says your name on it and everything. It's great. And if you're new to this, because I was when I first started using Care Of, I didn't know exactly. I was kind of guessing. I'm like, well, I think I could probably use some of this or some of that. You take the online quiz, and the quiz, it goes through all this stuff. It takes about 5 minutes, asks you all these questions about, you know, what you're interested in, what are your goals, scientifically backed question form for you here about your diet, health goals, lifestyle choices, all of that. And then you get that scientifically backed vitamin and supplement recommendation for you. Wow. It's very easy. Tells you then, hey, you know, based on this, your body could probably use some of this or that. It's great. 90% of people fall short of FDA recommended guidelines for at least one vitamin or nutrient. You'll be surprised, you know, just what, you know, what that can do for you when you get yourself right with it. Find out where you're lacking with Care Of's online quiz and get back on track to reaching your health goals. It's so easy, so convenient. Take that quiz. It'll tell you right there, hey, you should probably do some of this, have some of that. You know, you probably feel better if you do this or that. Totally, totally worth it. Take that quiz. Enter code GHOST50 and get 50% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins. Not a bad little offer there. Half off? You don't see that very much. All right? Go to takecareof.com. Enter code GHOST50 and get that 50% off offer. You'll love it. Takecareof.com. Enter code GHOST50. Supplements are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Let's go to our next letter. It says, as a young Girl Scout, probably 11, we were on a camp out. It was late summer. Of course, as was popular in the late 60s and early 70s, we had a seance to summon Jim Croce. Blindfolded, plugging hands into bowls of brains, eyes, and other assorted goofy items, or gooey items, a.k.a. spaghetti, skinless grapes, and things that escape my memory, and the popular game of lifting a volunteer with one finger after charging that you are light, you don't weigh anything over and over. We're in a large open cabin with rows of bunk beds. Where's my bell? I gotta ring the bell. Bunk beds for the girls to sleep in. My bed was near the door to the outside, heavily wooded in the Finger Lakes region. On Sunday morning after our festivities, I woke up to a bright, sunny room. I was sleeping on the bottom bunk with my feet towards the door. I'd hear the birds, felt fully awake and aware. I spotted a girl at the end of my bed, roughly the same age and size as myself. She was kneeling, elbows on the bed, hands in the prayer position, head bowed. She was dressed in a Little House on the Prairie-style dress. Large bonnet that covered her head and face, yellow or dark cream floral with an apron over it, petticoat lace sticking out of the hem, black button-up boots that went mid-calf. As I looked at her, she raised her head and started to turn towards me, and I mentally said, nope, and shut my eyes. After a few moments, I tried again. This time, she completely turned her head towards me, and I started to rise. Nope. Eyes slammed shut, waited a few moments, tried again, and she was standing and started walking towards me. The front edge of her bonnet was very deep, so her face was lost completely in darkness. Her hands were flesh-colored. I said, nope, three strikes and I'm out. Wasn't trying again. Finally fell back asleep. I've experienced sleep paralysis many times after that. It was not like that at all. I did not try to move because I wanted to be invisible. My mother is Indonesian, so we're not strangers to otherworldly goings-on. Black magic, white magic, psychics. I've also had many dreams concerning my grandmother on my father's side. I'll relay those at another time. I get it. You're sitting there and you're trying to shut your eyes, open your eyes, and make that thing go away. But as she said, nope, didn't happen. That would be pretty terrifying.
But they were trying to summon Jim Croce?
Who wouldn't? I mean, who hasn't at least one time in their life attempted to summon Jim Croce?
That kind of came from nowhere. I would have thought like Jim Morrison or somebody, you know, Kurt Cobain. I didn't see the Jim Croce coming.
Who wouldn't want to summon? I mean, there's so many lovely songs that you could, you know, Time in a Bottle.
Yeah.
I want to tell and make this song. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Time in a Bottle. If I could save time in a bottle.
I could something with time in a bottle.
The first thing that I'd rather
do. I have to wonder if she's tried summoning other famous people.
I don't know. And kind of like one-off artists. I mean, Jim was pretty, you know, he's a big artist, but it's not one you'd expect to summon in a seance. Yeah.
But instead of Jim Croce, she gets a little girl.
Talk about way off. You get Laura Ingalls when you're just trying to summon Jim Croce.
Right?
I mean, what the hell is that?
That would be my luck. It's like, no, I do not want you. Go back. We needed to talk to Jim Croce.
That's when Michael Landon shows up. It's like, shit, no, I wanted Jim Croce. What's up with this Little House on the Prairie theme of seance and people showing up? This is not what I wanted. It's not Highway to Heaven.
You don't want random people who are telling you, nope.
No.
Nope.
No.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Who would you summon if you could? If you could summon a,
it's like a famous dead person.
We gotta narrow it down to like a 1960s or 70s contemporary music artist. let's go that specific.
Okay, let's say.
I gotta think of who's dead.
Well, I think that Janis Joplin would be kind of interesting to summons.
Okay. That would be an exciting one.
I think that Jim Morrison, since I just mentioned him, he would be so high, but so would she.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do they come back high? Or do they come back regular?
I don't know. I think if I'm dead and I have to, like, keep haunting people that are summoning me just because I was famous, I'd want to be high. Be like, yeah. Here I am again. Okay, I'm dead, and you probably want me to sing a song. All right, here you go, everybody. We ready? I know it's like July 4th, but I know I'm dead and I'm here, so let's do it. Let's sing Same Old Lang Syne for the 50th time this week.
You're going to summon Dan Fuckelberg?
Yeah, why not? You know, what the hell?
My old lover in the grocery store.
That'd be kind of creepy.
I always really liked him. Back in the day, he was really handsome.
Sure, I like Dan Fuckelberg. I think he's a good one. I don't know what the hell... Longer. Light rock, less talk. Here's Dan Fogelborg for your work day. 72 and partly cloudy. Weather's coming up in just a little bit.
Tell me about it when you summon him, because I really just, I'm going to end up with some creepy person. I'd be like that girl. I wouldn't get who I'm summoning.
Yeah. I'll let you know. It'll be a good time.
And Harper.
It's like, what the hell?
Because you know Jen ain't going to have nothing to do with that.
No. Me and Harper have a Ouija board session, and we bring Dan Fogelberg back. It'll be a great time for all.
That'll be a whole episode in itself.
The episode where Dan Fogelberg comes back.
That could be Harper's first podcast.
Talked about for years to come. Over Christmas, I was looking up. I was trying to see if there was a music video ever made for Same Old Lang Syne. And there's just like some live performances of it, but never like a true music video. I don't know what the hell it was, but like somebody that like, I guess is like a diehard Dan Fogelberg fan made like their own music video of him or of the scene of, you know, you're in the grocery store and you run into your ex-lover. And it was like shot at like an IGA and like Iowa or something.
Oh my God, I must see this. I think I would love it.
In recent times too. It's like all HD. And the acting is horrendous in it, but it plays the music in the background and it's so bad you can't stop watching it. And it really kind of fucks up the whole song for you, because I used to really kind of like that song, and now every time I hear it, I just think of that horrible YouTube variation of it. It's like,
oh, I have to see that.
It's great. Totally worth watching. And somebody that, like, you know, like they had to like do this at like 10 o'clock at once the IGA was closed on a Tuesday.
Well, it makes me think that someone was in management. Someone had a key to the IGA.
Who's convincing all the... Hey, guys, tonight at 10 o'clock, let's meet at the IGA so we can make the faux video to Same Old Lang Syne. It's like, yeah, let's do it. It's like, what's going on here?
But don't tell anybody because we're sneaking in.
Yeah.
Well, say we're doing inventory.
We're here to make the ham salad for tomorrow, but we're secretly doing Same Old Lang Syne music video. I discovered a new television show that I really liked. I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. It's kind of along the lines. It's been around for a while. A lot of people probably know about it. I'm not aware of it or wasn't aware of it because I'm not 17. But it's a good show. Anyway, I'll talk about it in just a few minutes. It's not Fuller House. Let's go over to this letter. It says, hey there, my name is Rhiannon. Oh, here we go. Back in the classic rock theme. Rhiannon. How did that go? Wouldn't you love to love her? Okay. Hey there, my name is Rhiannon. I'm going to say it every time she says her name in there. I'm a mother of three living in Oregon. I don't know how many times I've rewritten this story because it really has no beginning or end. I started seeing spirits when I was about 6 or 7, and I still do see them regularly. Let's start with the most unsettling thing I've seen. Here it goes. I'll try to make it short. When I was 9 years old to 16, I was being raised in a little town called Canton in Illinois. It was by far the most boring and uneventful place I've ever lived. And to this day, I still get an uneasy feeling just thinking about it and have full-blown panic attacks when I'm there. Thankfully, I haven't had any reason to go back for many years. Teens get very creative there to keep their sanity or start to party hard at a very, very young age. I guess you could say my friends and I were more of the creative types. My family, my mom, stepdad, and little brother lived in a two-story house that had no record of being built. It was that old. I lived upstairs and had two rooms all to myself. My parents and brother stayed in the two bedrooms in the basement that we had refurbished and still had the slick cement basement floors. It looked really nice, but still had the creepy basement feeling. The first week we moved into this house, some neighborhood boys approached me and asked, "Have you seen anything?" Right away, I knew what they meant, because I always felt something or someone watching me. These kids told me about seeing black shadows upstairs, which was my room. I thought, great, welcome home. I'd take my dog into the bathroom with me when I showered, because if I didn't, the shower would turn off by itself, or the sink would turn on by itself. I'd hear someone walking up our very creaky stairs across the hallway, stop in front of my door and play with the doorknob. I told my friends about the creepy stuff happening, and we thought it would be a great idea to use a Ouija board to find out who was making all these things happen. This is where it really started picking up. We crawled out of my bedroom window, dropped onto the front deck from the roof, and walked the half block to the town cemetery. There, we contacted a spirit of a little girl, or so it told us, and then said to go back home, but we were having too much fun. And then spelled out N-U-R. We believe that amongst ourselves, until finally someone yelled, "Run." So we did, leaving our candles, blanket, and tape recorder behind. From that point on, I was very, very tired. My alarm would go off in the middle of the night, but not the radio station I had it set on. It played oldies music when I had it set to the local Christian station. Sometimes it didn't go off in the mornings. I'd miss the bus and have to walk to school, which was pretty far. I started to wake up with little scrapes on my chest and back, and after a while, they turned huge, bloody scratches down my arms. My parents eventually sent me away to a mental institution where I was evaluated as depressed, and it was confirmed that I had been harming myself. I asked over and over, how could I have cut my own back? But it was of no use arguing with the doctor. Somehow a youth pastor from my church heard about my stay there and came to visit me. I spilled it, everything I had seen before and after using the Ouija board. After I was sent home, a group of people from my church, including the pastor and youth pastor, came to our house. They prayed over everything, every room of the house, and when they started to pray over me, a woman commented seeing a black cloud over my head. I knew it was a bad idea to have them over and praying there, but I couldn't explain why. When they left, I turned to my parents, who mostly believed me at this point that whatever was there wasn't happy. They looked at me like I was crazy and might as well have patted my head like a sick little puppy. Soon after this took place, my parents asked me to put my little brother to bed so they could watch a movie in the living room. I took my brother to their room in the basement. I couldn't stand being in the basement for very long. While doing laundry, I'd always be looking behind me and run as fast as I could up the stairs. There actually wasn't one room in that house that I felt safe in, but the basement always felt like it the least safe place to be. I'm sitting up in my parents' bed with my brother that night, reading him the Pokey Little Puppy right in front of their bed. There was a walk-in closet. Shadows passed along the clothes hanging in there, but I thought it was just my eyes playing tricks. So I got up and turned on the light, and every light was on in that room. Then the scratching sound, like a large cat trying to gain traction, came from that closet. I sat up on my knees with my brother close to me and saw this thing. It was as long as a man on all fours, crawling out into the open. It was long, pasty white, and had a face and had no real features, though. None that I could remember. It looked up at me as if in shock that I noticed it, scrambled for the end of the bed, and hid its too big body under my parents' bed. The bed came up when it was crawling underneath and rocked us up and down with its movement. Then all went quiet. I asked my brother, "Did you see that?" And he said, "Yes." "Can we scream for Dad?" And we did. I got into trouble for interrupting my parents' movie and trying to scare my little brother. I was terrified from that point on, to the point I made a bed of blankets on the floor by their bed just so I didn't have to sleep alone. Every night I looked straight under that bed, trying to keep my eyes closed and tell myself that the thing is gone. Eventually got to the point where I could call out to this thing and ask it to do things. With this, I finally got my parents to believe me, and we eventually moved. To this day, at 31, I still have reoccurring nightmares about that house. In some dreams, I'm there again, and I'm trying not to feel this thing stalking me. In some dreams, I'm trying to save my children that have been locked in the basement. In one dream, I was living in another house in Arizona and saw it standing in my hallway. It was so tall it had to crouch. It had beady little black eyes and a huge slit for a smile, as if it had been cut from ear to ear. I hid under the bathroom sink, which I know I really couldn't fit in. It leaned down with its long neck and huge smile and said happily, "I found you." Sorry if it's too long, I tried to shorten it, and believe it or not, that's the short version. Let me know if anyone has ever seen this thing, thanks to the podcast, giving us an outlet to share our stories. Well, that's a creepy one.
Well, that's super creepy. And her parents were so out of touch. It's like, "Mom, Dad, there's something that just crawled out of the closet. The bed's moving." And they're like, "We're trying to finish our movie."
Let us finish watching Ace Ventura, damn it.
And the poor girl, like, they sent her to a mental hospital.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially at a different place in time. This sounds like it took place a while back. But, you know, I think you'd maybe not quite jump to the conclusion of mental hospital right away. But, you know, you do want to try and, you know, narrow down, is there something, you know, psychological going on here? But when you start having the scratches and stuff that you can go, like, there's really no way she could do this herself.
It just seems to me in a house like that,
yeah,
either you're in denial.
Sure.
Or you're in denial. Because how could you be in a house like that and not pick up on any of it?
I think there's a lot of denial going on. Nobody really wants to, you know, admit that the house that they just moved into and kind of got everything settled in is haunted. And maybe we shouldn't be here.
But this house doesn't even have any record of being built.
Yeah. That's creepy.
But I get it. Like, I still dream about that house that we lived in. Like, I will always dream about that house.
And that's probably more so almost like post-traumatic, you know, some sort of a trauma. Then it's not like the ghost of the house is still haunting you, but the memory is in kind of a trauma form. Yeah.
Yeah. I dream about it frequently.
Sure. That's a creepy one. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Okay, so there's the TV show that I started watching accidentally today. You know, YouTube will be like, "Hey, we suggest this video for you." And I think it's because I like to watch old clips of To Catch a Predator. It's just kind of like fun. A show that I never heard of before, and I guess it's got like 7 seasons, and it's like the weird combination of To Catch a Predator meets I don't know. There's like an element of the craziness of Hoarders in there. It's weird. It's called Catfish, and it's a show on MTV, and it's a reality show. And there was a documentary that this guy made about it's this thing that goes on today where people have fake identities online, and then they have these relationships with people for the longest time, convincing them that they're someone that they're not.
And they've been catfished.
Yeah. And I was just like, I've heard of that, you know, but it's like, holy shit, this is like a big issue. Like, this is just like kind of normal. And I don't know. It's just like kind of, I'm baffled. It's one of those moments where you're like, holy shit, I already have very little faith in society. This just gives me less. But at the same point, it's like watching a train wreck, because these folks, they get so invested in these relationships. And they're like, wow, we've been talking for 3 years and I really love them. Have you ever met? No. Okay. Have you seen pictures? I got 2 pictures. Why are you like, why?
Yeah,
are you?
And he is stuck somewhere and needs some money. So I've had to send him some money. But as soon as he gets his passport back, he'll be here.
Or these fantastical jobs that they have where like, oh yeah, he's a director on Ally McBeal, or it's just like all these shits like that shows up in production for 20 years. Well, yeah, but it's the comeback, you know, just something, just this fantastical stuff, and they believe it. And it's like,
and it happens all the time. And it's like, I on Facebook, I'm kind of maxed out on friends. Once in a while, somebody drops me and then I get a friend request.
Sure.
And it's all these weird people who have these exotic jobs and live in exotic cities. And they have these perfect photos. And it's those people.
Yeah.
Like, they just make this crap up.
It's scary. But it's an entertaining show. This is not an endorsement. This is not an ad. I found it because I like the To Catch a Predator. And a lot of these folks aren't predators. They're just delusional thinking. And the weirdest part about it is like once, and I've only watched a couple episodes, but it's like once they get caught and they get to the place where they come out of the house and it's like, oh, you're not a supermodel. They just don't, there's like no remorse. In a lot of them anyway. Some there is, but a lot of them are just like, yeah, so what? It's what I like to do.
The other thing that blows me away is that people will go, oh my God, Brad Pitt sent me a friend request on Facebook.
And they think it's Brad Pitt.
And I'm like, it ain't Brad Pitt. It's Brad Pitt. And we've been talking and I think we're going to get together. He's planning on coming to see me.
Yeah.
But of course, he lost his American Express card, and so I'm going to send him a little money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I had a conversation with somebody recently about, I'm not going to say who, because I don't know that she listens or not, but it would be a giveaway.
Yeah.
But like, I wanted so bad to say no. Like, I'm like, what? I said, you know, he's engaged to someone. Well, it'll all come out next week. I'm like, oh, crap.
You're just like, what? And you can't convince these people otherwise. They're so wrapped up in the fantasy.
Supposedly he's breaking up with a girlfriend. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. It's bizarre. I had seen it once, and I couldn't figure out what the heck it was, but I was really curious when I was on Facebook once. I got a friend request from Wanya Morris, and I know it wasn't from Wanya Morris of Boys to Men, but it was his photo, the like an old 1998 Boys to Men photo. I'm like, what the hell is this? So I hit accept just to see, you know, get that bigger look at the profile of what is going on here. And I see all these women that had obviously accepted the friend request as well. And they're communicating back and forth just on the feed. And they believe they're talking to this guy. And it's clearly like the photo that is of him up there is just like a scan from the cassette tape of Coolie High Harmony. You know, and it's like, this is not him. But they're all, then he or the fake him is responding. And it's that thing. And looking back, it's like, oh, this person was catfishing for these people. And privately, there's probably conversations going on. But that's what that was. And I was like, that's just so bizarre. But it goes on.
And then they'll say, well, he set that up. So he wants to talk to his fans directly.
Yeah.
is what they tell them. Yeah. So it's like, that makes so much sense.
So much reasoning that goes in like, well, this could be how it works. Like, who needs Nigerian princes that are going to be sending you inheritances that you didn't know about when you can have fake Boys to Men members sending you friend requests? You know, that's just, you know, it's just, yeah, scary.
Dream come true.
855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's do a call. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your story.
Hello, my name's Anna. First of all, thank you for choosing my story. So I'm going to say a bit of a history just so my story can be understood better. My mom had an older sister whom passed away, and when she passed away, she left two girls, which are my cousins. My oldest cousin, we're going to call her Nicole. She was about a year old, and then her younger sister, we're going to call her Emily, she was about 4 months old. So technically, they don't remember their mom. And I wasn't born yet. My mom still hadn't married my dad at that point. So my grandparents actually adopted my cousins as their own. And so they're technically my cousins by blood, but my aunts by law, I guess you can say. So fast forward years later, I was about 12 or 13 years old. I'm 23 now, so this was like 10, 11 years ago. My cousin Nicole, she was about 15 or 16 years old, and her sister Emily was about, I don't know, 14, 15 years old. And around this time, my oldest cousin Nicole started having these weird manic episodes, almost like she had been possessed. She would get this incredible strength out of nowhere, and it would take my two uncles and my grandpa to hold her down. And just think of that, like a 16 year old girl having three grown men hold her down. And it was very scary for me to see these, and my mom always tried to keep me away when she would have these episodes, you know, for the sake of not scaring me. They had to keep her sedated sometimes or tied to the bed, because every time she was awake, she would say these weird things, yell these weird things, and they, you know, it was just crazy. So they finally were able to diagnose her with bipolar and schizophrenic disorder. Now she takes medications, and you know, she's fine. But this is where the paranormal comes in. During the time that she started having these episodes and she was taken to different doctors and different psychiatric hospitals to try to find out what was wrong with her. And my grandma even took her to priests, and, you know, because she thought she was possessed or something. Some weird things started happening at my grandma's house during all this. And so my grandma has a window, or has a bedroom in her house that faces the street, and across the street there's a park, you know, so the window faces the street of the bedroom. And her sister, Emily, was in the bedroom one day, and she was home alone, and someone knocked on the window. So she goes outside to see who it is and why they might knock on the window and not on the door, and there's nobody there. It's midday during the summer. There's no kids at the park, and my grandma has dirt all around her house, so you should have been able to see footprints, and there was no footprints. Now, Emily was not the only one who experienced the knocking on that window. Multiple people, including myself, have had someone knock on that window during that time. And every time we would go outside, there would be no footprints there. My grandpa would rake the yard every morning, so it would be freshly raked. So you would have been able to see some kind of footprint. Now, another thing that happened during that time is Nicole's sister, Emily, got home one day, and it was late at night. I think she was coming home from some after school activity. And my grandma used to have this huge tree in the front yard. I can't remember what type of tree it was, but it was very, very tall and very, very thick. You couldn't really see through it. And for some reason, my cousin had the sense to look up into the tree. And when she looked up, she saw a black figure sitting in the branch, in one of the branches. And the first thing that came up to her mind was the word witch. I don't know why or what made her think of that, but just she saw this dark figure, and she just said, she just thought that word witch. And a couple other things that happened during these things was my grandma always loved animals. She always had cats and dogs and birds. And she even was taking care of my dog at some point. And my cousin had an episode, and the next morning my dog was found dead outside. And which, I mean, it could be explained, could not be explained, but it's just weird that it all happened during the time that my cousin was having these weird, you know, experience episodes or whatever. And the other thing is, every time she would have an episode, not every time, but every other episode she would have, one of the animals would be dead the next day. So it was really weird. Eventually, a lot of other crazy stuff happened that I probably could call you guys some other time and let you guys know. But for me, it's just very weird that before and after my cousin was diagnosed with this, nothing really crazy happened. And it was only during that time. This was, like I said, was 10 years ago, 11 years ago. So now my cousin, you know, she has a family. She got married. She has two kids. She takes medication now, unfortunately, for life. But, you know, it's a good thing. But no more of that craziness happens ever since she was diagnosed, and she's all better now. But every time, like, she would have an episode, something crazy would happen at that house. So we don't know what, if, you know, if it's connected to this mental illness or not, or if someone was actually practicing witchcraft, because at some point my grandma thought that someone was doing witchcraft on her. But yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know. I'm not sure. I've never heard of anyone else saying they've had any paranormal experiences if a family member has some kind of mental illness. But my cousin, you know, crazy things were happening to our family in and around that time. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoy my story. I kind of said it a little fast because it's a lot. It's a long story, and I have a lot more connected to this part of my life. But yeah, I've always been a believer in ghosts and the paranormal. You know, I went to church growing up, and I believe that just like they're demons or angels. And yeah, so thank you so much for listening. I'll probably call you guys back in the near future with different stories. Bye-bye.
Thanks for sharing that experience with us. And of course, you know, when we talk about this sort of stuff, you know, there are certainly mental illnesses out there, and they should be treated, you know, professionally. And it sounds like that's what happened here. But we have had stories where folks, you know, have in fact been diagnosed with something, and they're going to get help, or maybe for a while it was undiagnosed. But other things in addition to the illness were going on. And sometimes, you know, negativity, some of these dark things, sometimes they are attracted. They sometimes, you know, spike up when folks are going through difficult times, whether that be an illness of some sort or a trying time of what have you. So it does happen. And we have had stories like that on the show in the past.
But the animal thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's sad.
Yeah.
Scary.
It is bizarre. And I mean, I would say, you know, some of this, it does sound like something else kind of, you know, made its presence known while they were going through a really difficult point in their lives.
But I do know that mental illness can come across like people get the strength thing that she was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and for I'm assuming not a huge teenage girl. It's it's hard to explain that, but I think with mental illness, I don't know. There's a lot of things that could be attributed to that. But in that story, there was a lot that didn't totally sound like mental illness.
Yeah.
Either.
There's a lot of times where, you know, a mental illness, you know, depending on really what your mindset is when it's going on, you know, you could either go, oh my gosh, this is paranormal, or, you know, there's a lot of things, if your mind immediately goes to paranormal, where no, this is just how some of these illnesses do manifest themselves. Yeah. that do seem very paranormal. And that's why it kind of, you know, obviously I believe in ghosts. I believe in ghost stories. I believe people's experiences. But at the same point, I really am bothered sometimes when folks are telling a story, not so much on our show. I see this sometimes more on TV shows where it's like they don't even rule into the territory of did you go to a doctor? Did you rule out mental illness first before we immediately say that there's a demon in the house?
Yeah.
Because it's like that should always be looked at, you know, because sometimes, you know, stuff like that does happen and should be evaluated before we always jumped to there's a demon or something, you know, paranormal. But quite oftentimes, that's what I like a lot of our stories that we get is, you know, we looked into this or that, and then some really unexplained stuff started happening that goes beyond, you know, hearing a voice or something of that nature, like, you know, physical things in the house being moved that you really can't explain. Obviously, that's, you know, it's not a mental illness when your bed is flying into the air, you know, but when you have, you know, sometimes if you're hearing something, this or that, that can happen. And that can be a mental thing that should always be evaluated first. So it's always.
But that story sounded like a little bit of both.
It did. Yeah. And I think that one had a little variety of each in it. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. We would love to hear more from you, Anne. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. And that will wrap up our program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP, ghostpodcast.com is the place to do that. $5 a month, get access to all the bonus episodes. Oh, and we'll talk about this real soon. A special live event coming in August. Details soon. This is one we haven't really talked about yet. I'm tentatively calling it the Real Ghost Stories Online Family Reunion, but we'll talk more about it in the follow probably next week. I got to get a couple more details narrowed down, but it's going to be going on at a haunted location. Yes, then you're invited. So we'll talk more soon on that. So stay tuned. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.